I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
On episode 101 of Better Podcasting, we answer questions about asking questions.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we bid farewell to a couple of free podcast media hosts. Tear roll.
Finally, in this week's Better Podback, we hop from emails to tweets to the forum.
Lauren, start the show now. I'm gonna go cry.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 101 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Mr. Stargate Pioneer.
Please call me SP, and this is episode 101, which means if you want to hear all the fun that we had recording episode 100 last time, you should go to betterpodcasting.com/100 and catch out all the great fun we had. Emily did some great voiceovers. Yes. Steven did his editing magic, and the final copy is just pristine. I had a lot of fun. I actually listened to it and watched it twice. So I've been on that podcast now 5 times in my mind.
5 times? That seems excessive for Stargate Pioneer even.
I said call me SP. What is wrong with you? You just can't say SP. It's always the Stargate Pioneer with you.
That's true. By the way, if you're not familiar, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network is an awesome podcast called Digital Soup. They run down a bunch of the geeky happenings each week. And you want to check them out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And they call Stargate Pioneer just Stargate.
I've been called worse. I've been called Star Pie. You know one place that doesn't call me Stargate Pioneer? That's the podcast forum, found at thepodcastforum.com. And there's a lot of great activity over there this week. It was fun. And we've got some feedback from that later on in the episode. So hang on to your hats, boys and girls. We're going to talk some fun later on.
Speaking of fun, sometimes it's fun to break your show and fix it. So if you've done this, we want to know, how have you saved your podcast? Please do get in touch with us by emailing podcast@betterpodcasting.com or tweet us at BetterPod, or just head on over to facebook.com/betterpodcasting. But if you could send us a video clip, that would be awesome, because we want to know, how have you saved your podcast? Please do let us know.
Save the podcast tower or clock tower or... I'm sorry. Save your podcast show. Yeah, we want to know how you save your podcast show. And yes, I did indeed save my own podcast show. That would be Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 201. So if you ever go back and listen to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 201, that was a backup recording. And thank goodness it was only Haley and myself on that episode, because the edit is easier when there's two people rather than 3 or 4 with one track recording.
Yeah, I thought that wasn't up to your usual standards, so now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what specifically did you think was not up to my usual standards with that episode?
Well, Haley gave you too much slack. Usually she's there telling you who's boss, and she just let you off too easy.
Well, when Haley and I do a show alone, she rolls with the punches, and she actually talks more than with the show with 3 people. You actually see it on the track. She likes equality when it's just 2 people on a podcast.
I'm just messing. You should check that out. That's also on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. But let's ask some questions, or help you ask some questions, or answer them.
Oh!
one's a fun one for me because we sometimes like to participate in answering podcast questions. In fact, you always are free to ask us a question where you sometimes may not have the answer for you, or we might just charge you a premium. No, that's not true. But you can always ask us a question and we like to answer. And so this is something that we thought was well overdue to talk about on this podcast. That's right. We want to help you ask the best phrased question that you can to try to get the answer you need as soon as possible. Let's be totally honest. The podcast community is tight. Compared to some of the other communities, we are a tight, tight community, and there are a ton of places that you can ask these questions. You can go to Facebook, you can go to Reddit, you can go all over the place. There's a billion places that you can ask these questions, but really, we kind of suck at asking questions. So we're going to help you tailor that question. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe how you can tailor your answer if you're somebody who is answering podcast-related questions. So let's start off with the most important part. SP, what is that?
The chances are you aren't the first one to ask a question about the subject matter that you're asking. Maybe if you're very insightful and pushing the edge of podcast technology or just the space in general, you might be the first one. But odds are somebody's asked the same question you're about to ask, or at least someone that's, or a question that's very similar. And I would start by using the search feature. Yeah, I would search for my answer in the Facebook. If you happen to have a Facebook account, there's a lot of great Facebook groups out there. We've talked about them before. And each Facebook group has a little search feature. So I would search for your answer there. I would go to Reddit. I would search over there. I would go to Google Plus. I would search there. I would go to the podcastforum.com and search there. I would go to all the places that you usually are at to ask questions, and I would search there. Now, if you don't find the answer to your question, if you still feel like your question needs to be asked, for example, maybe there are new techniques or services or technology that is available that might help answer the question, this is all going to be an important part of what you ask. So readers have probably seen all these other questions that have been asked before. So they might just take a look at your question and go, another question about which microphone is the best for podcasting again.
Which microphone is the best for podcasting again, SP?
Well, it depends upon your situation, but if you're just starting into the pod space, we would recommend a USB / XLR combo microphone like the Audio-Technica ATR2100, the Audio-Technica 2005. There's also the same versions called the Samsung Q2U or the Nox podcasting microphone. There's four versions of the same microphone. So we would advocate, if you don't have any experience with microphones or audio or podcasting, one of those four microphones would be good for you.
So let's say that you searched and you said to yourself, okay, I still need to ask this question. I think there is still merit to me asking this question. Let's look at one of the key things that you want to ask, which is stating your budget if it's applicable. Okay, because a lot of times within podcasts, we are talking about different things and different avenues that might incur an expense depending on the options presented. So this might be gear, like the microphone example SP just gave, or this might be something totally elsewise that there might possibly be a budget consideration. For example, I see a lot of people who like to talk about how they can clean up their audio. Well, I can give you a list of many people who can recommend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of plugins to help you with that. I can find you tons of people who can tell you about options that are free. So remember, budget is a huge thing because you're entering in and asking this question in a forum of people who some of them have a large budget because it's their business. Some of them have no budget because it's their hobby. So keep that in mind. Budget is something you want to specify if it's applicable for the situation.
Another thing that you're going to have to ask yourself about the question that you're about to ask is, will somebody that you've never met have everything that they need to understand your current situation. For example, if you're looking to upgrade gear, make sure you outline what you have already. That is a key thing that when Steven and I are trying to answer questions all the time, that is a key thing that we need to know because it will affect the answer that we give, especially if you've already given a budget. And another thing that we have to consider is what country you're in, because we know that different countries have different availability of technology depending on your budget, depending on where you are in the world. So where you are, what country you are in, you don't have to give your street address, but your what country you are in is definitely something that you need to specify. Also, another thing that you need to specify, and you probably already do this in your question, but just to make sure, you need to tell your specific application. For instance, you're talking about podcasting. What kind of podcasting are you talking about? Solo in your studio, solo in your studio over the internet, Skype, Discord, Google Hangouts on Air, whatever it is. You have to understand that. You have to understand if you're YouTubing. That's a whole nother complexity because you're talking about some sort of camera and recording capability. And if you're doing voiceover is actually different than podcasting. Podcasting is more like broadcasting. It's very similar to voiceover talent, but with voiceover talent, you might actually want to take that step to condenser microphone. Oh my gosh. I got to get that taste out of my mouth. A condenser microphone, because you're normally going to have sound treatments because you want to have the best sound possible in order to go forward. Yeah, sure, SM7B might be good, but in case you wanted to go to the condenser, excuse me, then that should be something that you specify. I'm only doing voiceover work. What do you guys think?
For sure. The other thing that's kind of related is what sort of challenges or complexities are you going to have with your specific setup? Are there some key issues that you might want to make sure is communicated? People can't read your mind. Have you explained these things? For example, this is my go-to example now, is Stargate Pioneer and the conventions that he has podcasted at. Because he's podcasted at more than one convention, so he's basically the expert at it. He often, similar trend between all of the places that he's done this, very limited time to set up and take down equipment. So if he was looking for an answer to something related to that, and he knew that that was a factor, that he was going to have 2.5 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, to quickly tear things down or quickly set things up, he's going to want to specify that within his question, because that's a relevant piece of information. You want to avoid all of those people who are going, no, SP, what you need to do is get this 6 carts of gear, haul them in one at a time from your car, bring them into the panel. No, because he doesn't have that. So that would be a key example of something that he would want to mention as a problem.
Indeed. And have you already tried something? This is sort of within the complications category, but it's something that's often overlooked when you're asking questions or trying to answer them later on. As somebody, myself and Steven, who have often helped others, can be very frustrating when we give suggestions to somebody and they say, oh, I've already tried that. Well, by identifying your attempts at what you've tried already and giving that important information, you also gain additional credibility by showing that you've tried it and that the person that's answering the question can treat you with somebody that has a little experience in the area as well, rather than just a beginner. It sort of qualifies you in your experience level.
Yeah, and it also helps show the person that's answering your level of comfort to experiment. Because a lot of times myself, when I run into a problem, I might have to go and diagnose something over the course of several steps. Sometimes it takes weeks, different rearrangement. Well, some people don't have that patience or that knowledge and whatnot. So that might be something that if I went in and I saw, okay, somebody's tried all these different things, that shows me that they know a little bit about that and are willing to experiment. So that is absolutely something that is worth considering when you're asking the question. Another one that will help people answer things is, do you have an end vision? And what I mean by that is, do you have somewhere that you want to go? Do you want to get from A to F, but you don't know how to do steps B through E? Well, at least if we identify, no matter how outrageous it is, where we want to go, this is going to give everybody the final destination. We might take a bunch of different paths to get there, but we're all going to end up in the same parking lot as opposed to the other parking lot across town.
Well, if you want to start running a marathon, you're not going to start with your first race being a marathon. I can guarantee you that. You're probably going to walk a 5K to start out with, and then maybe jog a 5K, run a 5K, run a 10K, maybe do a half marathon before you get to that marathon and get your final result. That has to do with training your body, training your mind, understanding the workings and ins and outs of an actual race. And if you've run a marathon or a half marathon, you know what I'm talking about. That is how to get from point A to point B in real life. In podcasting, especially if you're brand new, you don't want to just start and jump off the deep end and try to get it all right away. It's just not going to benefit you or anybody else. So the best thing to do would be to state what your end state is going to be so that people can help you out. And there's all sorts of we talked about this already. There's all sorts of qualifications to that as well. Like maybe there's you want a full-fledged studio to start out with, but you have a limited space for an audio rack. So you have to state that as a qualification as well and say, I only have a space for a 2U or a 4U audio rack. What are the essential pieces that I need to get from here to there? And in what order should I purchase them? Those are important questions to ask.
Now, since we talked a little bit about some of the things that are going to help you tailor and craft your question to be most effective, let's look at things from the other side. Let's say that you're wanting to answer some of these questions. What can you do to make your answers more productive or possibly get the information that you need from the quester? Well, let's start off with the number one thing. Understand the question. Again, I'm going to say it a second time. Understand the question. I'm going to say it a third time. Understand the question. It is unbelievable to me how many times I go on there and I see people just be like, this is the AT 2005, but they don't understand that the person specifically said that they already have an AT 2005. So you want to understand the question, and not only just the surface, but you want to understand the intent of the question. If you don't understand the intent and the purpose, how can you really accurately answer the question for the quester? For example, somebody might ask on a forum, maybe the podcast forum, how do I move my RSS feed? Okay, that's pretty easy. I can tell you. Just tell me which host you're with and I'll tell you how to move it. But if I don't understand what the reason is behind moving, there might be an underlying issue. Maybe they have just done something wrong. They're uploading files incorrectly. And if we don't understand the reason behind it, they might just move to another host and have the same problem. So we really need to understand the underlying issue with that to answer properly.
Steven's actually handheld me through a few of these before with dealing with computers that have been dying. So understanding the root cause, not just I can't connect to you on Skype, but maybe my motherboard is fried. That's important information to know, or at least to help diagnose. So why do I want to change computers? Because my computer's not working. That it's just an example that we've actually gone through a couple of years ago on this show. Here's something. Don't be a typical techie. Let's be honest. Those that are answering podcast questions go very techie very quickly. Techies, and I would consider myself and Steven to be techies, so we're at fault for this from time to time too, but we often forget that we don't know the language of normal people or even care about that the people don't know anything about the technical workings. So we have to phrase it in layman's terms for them to understand. And that's not a bad thing, because there's things that I don't understand that I'm like, Steven, what are you talking about? Just break it down to me, simple A to B, and it works great. So a user might be looking simply for a suggestion rather than a full technical discourse and explanation on what makes up a microphone. Yeah, it's great to understand what the difference is between a dynamic cardioid microphone, the capsule, and a condenser microphone, but a lot of people don't care. They just want to know which microphone would actually work better for me, or even which program would work best for me, editing or whatever. So sometimes you may need to get into the tech a little bit, but use simplified language and avoid jargon.
Absolutely. The other thing is support your answer. The reality is that you are posting this with probably a bunch of other opinions. And if you keep in mind all of the above, the, you know, not being too technical, all that stuff there, but you give a simplified answer, this is going to help that person asking the question understand where you're coming from and maybe help them identify a little bit about why that will or won't work for them. They might come back and say, yeah, that sounds great. However, the problem I have in my situation is this. So that's something that you want to be aware of, that you should support your answer a little bit, because if you just come in and you go, well, you should own your own domain and that's it, well, that doesn't really help. Why should you own your own domain?
I don't know, Stephen. Why should I own my own domain?
Oh, don't get me started on this. Plus a whole bunch of more related owning your own domain stuff. Episode 65. by the way, the episode 65, you can find all of our episodes at betterpodcasting.com/episode number if you've never tried that before. So support your answer. Don't get too techie. That's a really important thing. And it will hopefully help direct that person towards the resource that's going to be the best fit for them.
Just like you just did with episode 65 of Better Podcasting. And here's something that I usually start out with. When somebody asks a question, I immediately think of a facet that I need to know in order to help answer their question. So I ask more questions. And a lot of times you see people try to answer without knowing what the motivation behind is or what the circumstances is. Don't be afraid to ask additional questions, and don't get into that, just, I got to answer this first. I got to be the first person to give the quality answer. I don't care. I want to help the person out. So even if my asking a question and I have to step away from my computer for a couple hours, somebody else comes in, somebody else answers the question, at least they have that additional piece of information that has been answered by the original poster that can help answer the question better for that individual. And I feel better for asking the question.
Absolutely. So there you go. There's some ways that you can craft your questions and your answers so that we can be a better podcast community. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, Stephen, this is great, but I'm having troubles understanding where I can really apply this. Well, you're in luck, because when you come back for episode 102 next week, unless you're watching this in the future, of course, and then you just skip over to 102, we are going to share some real examples of some questions and some answers that have been asked around the podcast community and how they could have been refined a little bit more. We thought that would be a fun exercise to go through, because then you can actually see it applied to podcast questions. Plus, maybe it'll answer a few questions for some people. So come back for episode 102 for that next week. But in the meantime, let's get to the download while we talk about a few more changing services.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Oh, yes. If there's one thing that you can bank on, it is free services. Free services are great because they're free and they offer the endless amount of support for all of eternity. Right, Stargate Pioneer?
I know you're Canadian now because you're talking that communist crazy stuff. Free is best. That's a real knee slapper there, Stephen. Real knee slapper. Okay, what we're talking about here is a couple of services that have changed or gone under, basically, because they can't support the free model. And they're specifically podcast media hosts. And one is called Audio Boom. It used to be called Audio Boo. And I can't remember when they changed, I think a couple years ago, to Audio Boom. And they have a couple of different tiers. They had a free tier, but then they had a paid tier. Well, they're transitioning exclusively to paid service. And that makes sense to me, because really what's going on is you're paying for bandwidth, you're paying for storage. And if your paying customers aren't taking care of those bills for you, and you have freeloaders with the free service, then you have to move forward and you need to get that taken care of. So we got a email from Audio Boom that says basically, changes afoot at Audio Boom. With the massive growth in podcasting globally, we have found that in order to offset the cost of platform maintenance, upgrades, and related services, we can no longer provide accounts for free. So starting December 4th, 2017, Audio Boom will only offer a $9.99 monthly subscription to our current users that have thus far enjoyed ad-free channels at no cost. Audio Boom's $9.99 monthly subscription is a great fit for podcasters with smaller audiences or those who simply want an ad-free option for hosting and distribution. We will also be updating the terms on which we make Audio Boom available to make them suitable. That means updating our terms of use and privacy policy and introducing a new cookie policy and contact policy, collectively terms. To understand how this affects you, please check out our frequently asked questions below. So I don't have a problem with this, Stephen. I think it's a good move forward for Audio Boom to secure their services for their existing and future customer services.
You know, this comes to my mind for two reasons. Number one, people who went and they went, let's go over to Audio Boom because they're free. This is an example on how you need to face the reality. And the reality is that not everybody is like SoundCloud and can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, continuing to be free. SoundCloud, I still say one day it's going to be gone, but however, or at least for podcasters. However, the reality is at this point here, it's been free for how many years? A lot of services will have to do this that start off free because they can't afford to keep going for no money. So now you're in and you're essentially have all of your stuff configured with Audio Boom and you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so it's $9.99 a month. That's okay. But what else could I get for that price? Would there be something that if now that I'm looking and I'm actually having to spend money, can that $10 go somewhere better? Or could I put that towards something that I think is worth a little bit more? I don't know. I don't know enough about Audio Boom. However, that would be a question I would be asking myself if I was an Audio Boom user. The second thing that I think really, really highlights here is how when you have something attached to a service, whether it is something like your media files or your RSS feed or just your artwork or your website, you're at their mercy. You are at their mercy because you have your stuff there. So these people on Audio Boom are forced to pay the money or try to migrate elsewhere. If they can do that, I don't know enough about Audio Boom. So it's just an example on how really when you're into somebody's ecosystem, you're in there. Anybody could do this. Any of the podcast host providers could do this. And then they might have, for good reason, have to one day. More and more people means more bandwidth. So it can happen. Expenses go up. So really, you got to face the reality that there's going to be a cost, a recurring cost to podcast. And it's just another example on how that's the case.
Indeed. So interestingly enough, we were giving information to a Tumblr post about another free, completely free podcasting media host called Opinion. I had actually not had any interaction with Opinion at all, but apparently they had hosted a few thousand shows at least, and they posted on Tumblr an important notice from Opinion podcast platform shutting down on November 1st. Dear Opinion podcaster, we've been forced to shut down the podcast hosting. To avoid losing your data, you will need to download your audio files and move your podcast before November 1st. Please read the below information carefully. We're stunned to see how well our podcasting app has been received around the globe. Since our launch in November 2014, there are now well beyond 100,000 people who are using our service. From early on, we decided to allow free hosting for all of our users. That's because we wanted it to be easy and free to share spoken stories. However, the amount of content on our servers is now measured in years rather than hours or weeks, and the costs followed suit. We have a small and humble revenue stream from our in-app purchases, but the costs are unfortunately soaring well beyond that. The numbers don't add up, and we are forced to do something about it. After many and long discussions, we decided to wind down our online podcast sharing platform, but the Opinion app will remain exactly as it is. That means you can keep using Opinion for recording and editing, but online sharing has to be done on any of the numerous podcast hosting services available online. Your content will be available online for the following month, But after that, you'll have to settle for another hosting option. Many of you have asked us the reasonable question, why can't we keep it as a paid service for pro users? However, our calculations show that the number of active pro users are simply too low to keep the hosting service going. In order to not lose your data, you need to download it before the November 1st. Please download by clicking going our page, then tap the download arrow icon. For a full list of hosting options available, please, including free ones, please have a look here. If you want your money back from purchasing the unlimited recording plan, please follow these instructions. And they talk about moving your podcasts. And if you want to save opinion, you can buy it. It's for sale. So there you go. That's just an example of a free podcast media host that just can't pay the bills. So they decide to close their doors. I know the same thing happened with Podango years ago. I know that Podiant, we just talked about it on Better Podcasting episode 96, went to a crowdfunding model. I'm not sure that's going to save that platform, but we'll see. Who's next? Shout Engine, Awesound, SoundCloud, Wooshka. I mean, there's a lot of other free media hosts out
SP's
there.
SP's free media hosting of doom.
Yeah. So it's just beware. Yes, these services can keep going if they keep receiving venture capitalist funds, but they have to have some sort of monetizing scheme eventually. And Podiant and SoundCloud might actually pull it off. I don't know. I wouldn't trust my feeds to them right now, but I know other people might not have their chance at it. So they might not have the budget available, but they really want a podcast. So I commend you for doing that. Just realize that your show might not be available forever if you use it.
There's also been an interesting outage that has been happening. I actually wasn't aware of this. I'll fully admit it till Stargate Pioneer brought it to my attention. So since he's just been, you know, read out those long emails, let's just make him tell a little bit more.
Yeah, so this is a online recording app, Cast, which you can find at tryca.st, TryCast, or just Cast. And apparently starting on October 2nd, they ran into some service disruptions. Now, they were very forthcoming to their users, and basically they had an incident with their file host server, I guess, and they were communicating back and forth to that file host server. My guess is that they changed something in the security widgets behind the scene, and that made the files that were recorded unavailable for users to download. So they had to put in some exceptions. They had to make sure that they would work without making their service, their server, susceptible to further viruses. It was probably a patch that they implemented, and they had to figure out a way around the patch in order for the files to transfer in and out. And that was starting on October 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern time. As of October 11th, 1 p.m. Eastern time, they say let me just read this to you. While we've seen the restoration of nearly every unreachable file, we've yet to receive the green light from our file host that their repair operation and verification is complete. As always, we've asked for more information and are waiting on that. This is important because I know a lot of people like to use cloud services for recording, and we like to have backups. So we like our portable digital recorders, and Steven's using his L12 now to record from his mixer directly. Those are great. We do have backups running. I mean, I'm recording to Spreaker right now, for instance. So we have backups, and we've got another backup to Google Hangouts on Air through YouTube Live, and backups upon backups are great. If you're only using one service, this is the possibility of what can happen. If you're only using a digital recorder and you forget to hit record, that can bite you too. So if you use multiple services to record, the odds of you completely losing that interview, that episode goes down. And this is just saying that services are not alone in their invincibility. They have issues just like everything else.
Yeah. So that's a good example for all the things that SP said. And just keep that in mind too, that some of these services are really grassroots movements. And so when they have an outage or something like this, you're not getting your instant back on. You know, that's the way that it is. There's lots of bigger companies which have had prolonged outages. And when you're dealing with somebody who is smaller, it's going to take a lot longer to get everything all pushed together and finalized and locked back in. So it's a good story. And I'm glad that you did send it my way, Stargate Pioneer. And the final piece that we have in the Better Podcasting download is that Google is apparently looking at podcast stuff again. Don't worry, it's not Google Play Podcasts. It's nothing to do with that. It's nothing with making things easier on the Google Android. No, it's none of that. It's not them personally coming to your door and saying, record a podcast, here's a microphone. No, it's not that. No, they apparently just announced, well, they-ish announced that they purchased an app that is technically a podcast app, but it is focused on short form audio stories. And it's currently an app available on Android and also on the iPhone. It is called 60dB. So dB like decibels. And this is an app that actually over the last couple of years has gotten a lot of attention. If you just Google 60dB app, you'll see all sorts of stories all over their place. I think there's some on TechCrunch. There's a whole bunch. The reason why this is so popular is because not only has it been a successful app, but it was actually founded by former Netflix executives. So whenever anybody of a big company like Netflix or formerly of a big company like Netflix does something, it's going to get some eyes. Now, the app 60dB was founded partially by somebody named Steve Henn, H-E-N-N. And he was quoted as saying, "We are thrilled to be joining the team at Google. We can't talk yet about what we are going to be up to, but we are really excited and eager to tell you more soon." This was on the heels that the app will be shutting down November 10th. So obviously some interesting things. Google's purchased this for probably reasons that aren't directly to do with 60dB's current execution. If they're shutting it down, there's something that they're doing with that technology, but it's interesting that they were acquired by them. I'm curious to see what Google does with it. Maybe they're taking the information and they are going to make an awesome, sweet official podcast player. I doubt it. I doubt everything Google does with podcasts at this point, but hey, kind of cool.
So interesting fact, I heard about this purchase by Google of 60dB on my Amazon personal assistant TechCrunch news daily this morning. Yes, I did. I actually heard it on my Amazon device, something that Google was doing. I just found that hilarious that I didn't hear it on a Google Home because I don't have one.
Yeah, so anyways, it probably was on there, but I'm curious. I'm always interested what Google's doing when they do anything podcast related, but time will tell. This could be something that goes in away for like years too. They've done that before where they bought stuff, they've taken the technology, and we don't see it reemerge for years. So who knows? Time will tell. But let's see what you are telling us about your podcast this week.
Jason Bryant tweeted us on October 1st, that's 1 week ago today, and he said, "At BetterPod, Ruby is ready for episode 100. Yes, indeed, we are kid-friendly. Ruby is his child, and she is there sitting in front of the TV on the Please Stand By screen before Better Podcasting episode 100 aired live, which happens every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. What is that?
Mountain time.
Yeah. Pacific.
Okay, I will say that I love this video that we were sent. Now, one thing, just to get a little inside baseball here, we stream this through a few different places, and I don't know which method he was streaming it through. However, the fact that YouTube is so cross-compatible with so many platforms is one of the reasons why I keep going there, even though there's been other options. I keep going to YouTube as one of them because there are people that I know that have watched the show that wouldn't be able to watch the show if it wasn't for YouTube. So I just hated on Google a bit. Now I got to get my love on Google a little bit.
Yes, Steven is a Google fanboy. We've established this at the GunnaGeek.com show, which you can find at GunnaGeek.com. Heather Welsh also tweeted us and she said, great show, happy 100, and here's to the next 100. Yep, we talked about that last time. We're not quitting at all. We're keeping on going. Thank you very much, Heather, for the congratulations. And then Damien, at Damien the DM, stands for Dungeon Master, by the way, said, so happy to hear a shout out to the RPG podcasting space, something I feel is largely overlooked by podcasting podcasts. And that was something that we were talking about in regards to the Audio-Technica BPHS-1 broadcast headset with a dynamic microphone on board. So you're welcome, Damien, and anything that we can do to help out RPG gaming podcasts, we'll go ahead to do. By the way, on the network, we have a couple of gaming podcasts, one that just entered into the network, just one more fix. They teach you how to actually run games, so that's a good one to check out.
We also had W. Scott Smith 19 tweet us saying, proud to have been selected for the 2018 Men of Podcasting calendar. I just hope that it's tasteful. Scott, we know that if you're involved, it's not going to be tasteful.
No, no. You know, Steven, should we pose? Should we take off our shirts right now and pose for our picture for the 2018 Men of Podcasting calendar?
No, there's no nudity on YouTube.
Oh, shoot.
We also put out a tweet this week so we can all get that image out of our mind. We said, when providing constructive advice to a fellow podcaster, it is important to A, read the entire question, B, understand the question, C, keep to the topic at hand, or D, cite clarifying examples. There also was the option of E, which is ignore it all and just blast everything. So I removed that one. Stargate Pioneer wanted to put that out there. I removed it. And we had 33% of the people say read the entire question, and the rest of the vote went to the B, which was understand the question. And I totally agree. Gotta understand it to answer it properly.
Well, Diami Plocky tweeted us and he said, not sure, but please share. I know podcasters with fantastic content and terrible production. So he's looking at ways to share answers to these questions these podcasters ask. So I hope you found this episode useful and hopefully you will find next episode useful as well. We also got an email from our pal Johnny Pennington and he said, hey guys, I'm close to getting my podcast gear together, but there's one thing I've never seen in a podcasting show or in a review of podcasting gear, that of an unsung hero and or villain of podcasting gear, audio cables. I believe from scanning the internet that it's kind of like microphones, very opinionated. In most cases, understand that normally balanced versus unbalanced is preferred. Can you give us the lowdown on that? What are the top brands in premium versus good versus acceptable? Is there a happy medium? Can you give us the real story? I don't want to skimp on good, reasonable quality this late in the game. However, I don't want to overspend on anything not really necessary. With this dilemma in mind, I thought that I should seek out Better Podcasting's podcast gurus. Steven, do you know who the Better Podcasting podcast gurus are? I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with Better Podcasting.
That's the show that you're recording right now. I'm asking you, where are the gurus?
Oh, sorry. I'm the gurus. I didn't know this was Better Podcasting. Okay. So, Johnny, we will absolutely answer your question. I will say that when you watch the video side of things, because I know, Johnny, you do watch the video side of things, the cables that you see are actually for show. In fact, sometimes I like to just disconnect them and unplug them and go truly watch.
Yeah, Steven, way to disconnect your cable there, buddy. Way to go.
Cables sorry, are important. Sorry. I guess it's not wireless.
I honestly have used the monoprice cables, but if you want to see a true comparison of some cables, you might want to check out the Podcastage YouTube channel, because I know Bandrew has purchased some very expensive audio cables because he was wondering the same question. So I will refer you to him because I actually have not done the comparisons myself.
Yeah, I gotta say, from the hobbyist perspective, I have been pretty happy with the monoprice cables. I will say, look for the size of the cable as well. I know that there's ways that people cheat this and whatnot, but a lot of times my experience, I found that, of course, the thicker cables are better sounding. They usually are protected a little bit better. They are sometimes thicker gauge. Some things that you need to remember is depending on the final connection that you're getting to, sometimes you just get your SOL, because RCA is a great example of that. You're kind of adding down to the exact same thing at the end. And a lot of times those RCA connectors are kind of terrible. So you got to keep that in mind. If you're looking to save money, the monoprice stuff has been good. However, I will echo what Stargate Pioneer said, which is that Bandrew actually upgraded all of his cables recently and he spent a lot of money on those. And he'll be able to tell you why we're wrong or why we're right. Probably wrong. But I should encourage you to check out the Podcastage YouTube channel as well.
Bandrew happens to be in the chat tonight, and he said, I haven't done a direct comparison yet, but I almost noticed no difference. And that was after wasting $200 on new cables. So the medium cables are good. I actually recently had a cable go bad, but that's after 4 years, and it was a 20-foot cable. I had another one in the drawer. I put it in. They go bad after a while. You just have to know that, and you have to keep testing them if you're running into audio issues, and it doesn't matter how expensive or inexpensive they are. The inexpensive ones do tend to fail quicker, and it's mostly the connectors, I think. And I will echo Steven's thoughts a second ago. I have recabled everything by going from the direct connector on one end to the direct connector on the other, rather than going through adapters. That's always better in my mind, rather than putting another adapter in there, which can always go wrong eventually. Moving on, Scott Smith also emailed us, and he said, gentlemen, I don't know any gentlemen on this show. They are sorely mistaken about who's running the show, Stephen. Anyway, Scott said, gentlemen, I know you're not lawyers. No, we are not. But I want to run by this by you anyway. I found the perfect YouTube video. I'd really like to add this to the episode. What steps would I have to take? Thanks, Scott. Now, I am not a lawyer, and I would advise you to do two things. First of all, check out the actual, like the Creative Commons or the copyright on whatever has actually been produced. And then I would also check with Gordon Firemark. He happens to be a lawyer and a podcaster, and he gives legal advice to other creators, whether they're podcasters or actors or whatever. So I would encourage you, if you have any questions like this, to ask Gordon Firemark. I mean, I could give you my answer, but it's not going to be the legal defining answer. So please check out Gordon Firemark. We haven't talked about him much on this show, but he is an awesome resource to have.
I will let you know that from a YouTube content creator perspective, when I upload a video, there's two options. There's one that is the standard YouTube license, and there is another that is Creative Commons-Attribution, I believe is what it is. When you look in the help documentation, there is a whole section on Creative Commons. Obviously, that is to do with the second option. When you go and you look at what the quote standard YouTube license is, where it takes you to the link that shows you the YouTube terms of service, you sit there and you bash yourself over the head with a newspaper several times. Actually, probably those terms of service that you printed out, rolled them up and bashed them on your head because it's not very clear. So keep that in mind. There are two different types of licenses on there. And if by chance it's one that is Creative Commons attribution, maybe it's going to be luckier for you. However, we are not lawyers, like Stargate Pioneer said. And just in case you didn't hear that, we are not lawyers. And a third time, we are not lawyers.
Yeah. And if you do choose to use the clip, I would definitely attribute it to the original source and link it. I absolutely would do that. And I would say we are using this in accordance with the copyright that's given, and make sure you understand that. And if it's a copyright that you can't use it in an additional creative work or derivative creative work, then don't. But again, we're not lawyers. So moving on again into the email train, Johnny Pennington emailed us after podcast 100, and he said, lots of fun, enjoyed it all.
I'll also say that Johnny and I had a bit of an offline discussion, and we both highlighted how our top 10 lists, his top 10 list matched very closely to our points that we had previously thought about to do with the first half of episode 100. And so basically, the long story short is that we've just confused you over 100 episodes. It's the way it is.
And we encourage you to listen or watch to the next 100 episodes, and we will clear everything up, we promise.
For sure. We also had Scott Smith. He asked a question over on the podcast forum, didn't he?
He did. He asked an important question, which I still need an answer to myself. He said, does anyone have any recommendations on a quiet desk chair? I have to do interviews like a statue to avoid annoying squeaking. Thanks. So if you out there have recommendations on a quiet podcasting chair, please go to the podcastforum.com and answer Scott Smith's forum thread entitled Quiet Desk Chair.
I'll also just for a moment here point out that I believe Scott Smith was the one that posted his chair that is like 99% duct tape at this point. So if that's the case, I might just suggest getting a new one, which will probably be an improvement. The chair thing's actually interesting enough, something that Stargate Pioneer and I have fought with over the last couple of years. We both thought that we got ourselves some excellent quiet chairs. Give it about 3 weeks and they're loud. Definitely quieter than my old one, but we'll talk a little bit more about that on the podcast forum. We also had Garth from Australia post saying, hello from Australia. New here and actually new to forums for the most part. I've been podcasting since about 2012 and recently found better podcasting through SP on the Libsyn Voxer chat. So thank you very much for coming on by the podcast forum, Garth. We do hope that you are liking and finding what you want over there, and feel free to keep posting. And we appreciate Stargate Pioneer waving his flag everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm. Just like Sheldon Cooper, I have fun with flags.
Awesome. So that is going to take us to the end of episode 101 of Better Podcasting. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. We want to know, what did you think? What do you have to say about all the subjects that we talked about? Please get in touch with us through any of the ways that we mentioned, which is podcast at betterpodcasting.com. Tweet us at betterpod. Find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting, or just head on over to Twitter and put a little hashtag pod pressure on us to talk about what you want us to talk about.
I have to thank everybody for downloading this podcast. I do it on all our other shows, but I rarely have had the opportunity to do it here. I just want to thank you. Thank you for being with us for the 100 episodes. And I'm looking forward to 100 more, as I said last time. So thank you very much. If you have any questions, please let us know. We will incorporate it either on a show or a future topic on the show. We want to make sure that your questions get answers, your concerns get vetted, because we are here for you. We're Better Podcasting, trying to make the community a bunch of better podcasters.
Awesome. So that is indeed the end of episode 101. Of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, reminding you to check out the Geeks.live recording calendar, because sometimes we don't record at our scheduled time.
And I'm SP saying, I have had fun tonight. I hope you did too. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.